Good morning, church. Again, I am happy to be here. Let's go ahead and have another word of prayer, calling on the name of Jesus, because that is where the power lies. So let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that you are the captain. Lord, you rule the universe. And Lord, you acknowledge each and every one of us here this morning. You know our cares and our burdens, our joys, Father. I thank you that you want to be with us and, Lord, comfort us and heal us and break every stronghold. Lord, I thank you so much that you are powerful and that you love us. And Lord, you are a deliverer. I want to pray this morning in a special way for each one of us here. Father, we want to bask in your presence. We want to learn from you this morning from your word. Father, apart from you, I can do nothing. So I pray in a special way that the Holy Spirit would come and fill me up, Lord, as you preach. And Lord, I pray in a special way that you would have each one of us here have open hearts, Lord, to the message that you want to share. May you reveal to us, God, what our talents are, how to be used by you, and may you impress upon us that you're coming back soon. Lord, help us to be ready for that day. Empty me of self, fill me with you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak one more time. I wasn't sure. Pastor Sam and Pastor Jeff had asked me, they go, Andrea, do you want the last sermon, your last Sabbath in Fallbrook? And I said, no. I'm going to be busy packing. I'm going to have so much to do. Are you sure? Are you sure there's not one last thing that you want to say to the church family before you leave? And I thought about it, and I talked to a few people, and they were like, Andrea, you should just share. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to share what I think is important for each and every one of us to know and to concentrate on this morning. So thank you for the opportunity to do this today. I want to share one thing with you that, and you guys have taught me so many things. I have been seriously blessed. That's why we picked the scripture from Psalms 103 this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He has been just amazing in my life, miraculous in my life, and I'm sure he's been the same in yours. Something that I learned while I was here, something that I had never experienced before, was a church family. A church family. Some of you maybe were raised with a church family, but I was not. And this is the first church family that I've ever had. I shouldn't have said that. Man, Lord, help me. He got me through first service. I was on the verge of like a tear fest, but it stopped. God is good. So I thank you guys so much. Oh, Lord. All right, for everything. All right, shake it off. Okay, we're going to turn in our Bibles because we are going to talk about church family. Hebrews 10. This is something that Paul obviously thought important enough to bring up as he's telling the church important advice. He's giving them, you know, fundamental things. Okay, make sure to be cleansed with the blood of Jesus. Make sure to follow him with all of your heart. So he's telling them all of this very, very important stuff. And he says in verse 25, Hebrews 10, verse 25, he gives them this advice. And this is important advice for us this morning. not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. For is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the two things that he brings out in this together is do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't go away by yourself, doing your own thing, saying, I'm going to worship the Lord over here. But assemble together, the assembling together. He thought this was an important point to bring out to them. Do not forsake the assembling together. And the reason why he brings it up in this kind of, and this point is he says, as others have done. So other people have done this. They're starting to go off by themselves. And he says, do not forsake the assembling together. And then he brings out another very important point in this verse. So much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. As you see the day approaching, do not neglect the assembling together. And the two are synonymous. The assembling together and the day of the Lord coming. They are two in one. They are connected. One depends upon the other. So we're going to start and we're going to look at what it means, the gathering together, the assembling together. We're going to look at that. Some of you were raised, as I said, in the church. Maybe you were raised in this church, raised in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And see, we can say that you are raised in the Adventist church, and that means something completely different to one person. You know, some come to church and come for an hour period, and you go home. And that's it. It's a once a week, maybe 2 hours event that happens. For others of you, you were raised in the church and were very active. You went to prayer meetings. You invited people to your house. They invited you to their house. You went on hiking and camping trips. You went canoeing together. You did a lot of different things together. Some of you maybe were just raised in a Christian church and you were involved, or maybe you were not as much involved. Or maybe some of you got to know God later on in life and the whole thing is just new to you. I was raised and my parents raised us in the church in a sense, but we were definitely people that came in, sat down. You know, we put on our church clothes, came in, sat down, left. And didn't have the church family. That's why I say you guys are my first church family. We didn't have that connection. Now, my Uncle Wade, on the other hand, now he is like a beacon of light for my whole entire family. My uncle and his wife and his son would go to church, and they were very, very involved in their church. I mean, my Uncle Wade would invite them to come over to his house to eat lunch on Sabbath, but, you know, sometimes just during the week. And he would go on camping trips. He'd say, oh, Andrea, you know, we're going to go on this camping trip, and, yeah, I'm going with my church family. Oh, this is just weird. This is weird that this man hangs out with people outside of church. I mean, those people are just your church people. You know, you don't see them outside of church. That's strange. That was strange and foreign to me. And then I came here, and you guys are my family, and I'm always with you. And we hang out during the week, and we spend time together. We're family. So there's an important lesson that we can learn as we discover and explore what a church family is. Now, why don't we use the term church friends? I mean, it's just as good. You know, these are my church friends. But oftentimes, we use the word family because it's something deeper. I looked up the definition of family, and I found the definition that I liked. I mean, you know, because they give you definition 1, 2, 3. So I got down to 5, and I finally found one. See, the beginning ones were like a mother and a father and a child, but I wanted something a little bit more broad. And so here's the definition that I found. According to the dictionary, it says, all those persons considered as descendants of a common progenitor. And so then I looked up progenitor, which is a person or a thing from which an animal or a plant is a descendant or originates, an ancestor or parent. So pretty much it's where you came from. All of us came from two people in the very beginning. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to start with the very first family. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God is talking here, and he's just finished creating this beautiful world, but it's lacking the whole reason why he created it. He hasn't created man and woman yet. His friends, the people that he made all the animals and the flowers for. All right, so here's what it says in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. All right, so this is where we all come from. We all originate from. As we meet together, we bond and we remind ourselves of where we came from. And when we remind ourselves where we came from, it helps us remind ourselves where we're going. And that is where our focus needs to be. And sometimes our earthly family isn't able to do that for us. Do not neglect the assembling together, especially as the day of the Lord approaches. All right, let's go to another verse. It's talking about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And so it starts with Jesus, and it's going back through the ages. And as it's going back, I don't know why, but it just really struck me. It just hit me as like, God, you're so awesome. You love us so much. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit impresses upon you, because there's nothing amazing about the verse per se, but I hope it amazes you because the Holy Spirit's here working on your heart. So let's go to Luke chapter 3. Now, since it wouldn't really be beneficial to read the whole genealogy, just because that's not where we need to focus on today, I'm going to pick up maybe where some of you guys are more familiar with some of the Old Testament ones coming up to Adam. So we're going to start Luke chapter 3, verse 34. The son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. So some of those were familiar to you, I hope. The son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah. Not as familiar. The son of Canaan, the son of Arphadak, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech. Some more that we're familiar with. The son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel. That's a good name to name your children, parents. The son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth. And here's the part that amazed me. The son of Adam, the son of God. Now, for those of you who have children, it was just so special, Candy Dennis, that you guys were able to come up here and dedicate Jessica this morning. Because any of us that have had, any of us, I haven't had kids. But any of you who have had children, you know the love that you have in your heart towards your children. That love that you would do anything for them. And oftentimes, even like if there's an argument, like maybe we'll give our families like a hard time, but if somebody's picking on one of my family members, I'm like, excuse me, that's my family, right? And so this idea of God, this Adam is God's son, just gives you this impression like, whoa, because that means that we are sons and daughters of God. That is amazing. God from heaven is looking down. And if you know how much you love your children, multiply that times infinity, and that's how much he loves you. Jesus gave it all. Because he loves us so incredibly much, he gave it all. And he wants us to treat each other with love and tenderness like he's treated us. Assemble together, bond together. Do not neglect the assembling together. Some of you sitting in the room, maybe we're not raised around your family, right? For one reason or another, you just weren't raised around them. Maybe you had a really, really difficult childhood. Maybe your family now is all deceased and you do not have a family in the so-called sense that, you know, somebody that you live with or spend time with, get to know. Maybe some of you once had a family, but you said, you know what, I'm going to be a Christian. And I'm even going to be something kind of a little weird. I'm going to be something called a Seventh-day Adventist. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, no. And they disowned you. And maybe some of you have a very tight-knit family right now. Whatever the situation is, it brings comfort knowing that we are a part of the family of God. And when we get together, it doesn't matter if you have a family here or if you don't, because we have this family. If God calls you away from this assembly, there's another one somewhere else. Go get involved, the family of God. If God, for some reason, sees fit to take you away from your family, maybe to a place you don't know, you can still be a part of the family of God. We know that there's difficult times coming. Be a part of the family of God. As a family of God, we have a purpose, as we read in Hebrews 10:25. And our purpose is described in the example of the body. Now, the Bible says all of us are baptized by one spirit into one body. So let's go ahead and let's explore that. What does it mean to be a part of the body of God, the church of God, as family members? Let's go ahead and see our purpose, because there is many people who do not have purpose or direction. It's actually quite easy to get distracted. Sometimes we feel, maybe I didn't get the right job. Well, man, it's all messed up. It's not the way it was supposed to be. Or maybe something happens. Maybe we lose a loved one. This wasn't fair. Their purpose wasn't fulfilled. Well, what is our purpose? All in all, what are we put on earth to do? What is our purpose as a church? What is our purpose as an individual? So let's go ahead and look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right before the love chapter. And I encourage you, later this afternoon, don't let church end here. Read through chapter 12 again. Read into chapter 13, right before that's the love chapter. And he's actually going off of chapter 12, talking about everything else, the most important thing is to have love in your hearts for each other and to do all of this. So it's just a beautiful passage. So 1 Corinthians 12, I encourage you, we'll be here for a little bit. So if you haven't opened your Bibles yet, go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians 12. If you don't have one, there's one in the pew in front of you. There's something about having the Bible in your hands. And I know many of you with your very smartphones, pull up the Bible on there. And I have to say, even though I have a dumb phone, I still enjoy the word in my hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. All right, and then he's going to go into explaining. That's what we're going to explore here a little bit. So let's continue on in verse 15. If the foot should say, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So I think the first question is why isn't the hand just content being a hand? Why does it feel the need that I want to be an eye? What is that purpose? Why did the hand feel that way? Well, I think one of the things that we can draw from it is that the hand was not content where God had placed it, because it says God has placed all the members just as he has pleased. So the hand apparently thought that the eye had a better job and got distracted and decided, I don't want to do my job over here. I just think that it's so easy to look at people and the jobs that God has given them in the church and say, well, that's a big job and this is a little job. And if I don't get to do, heaven forbid somebody say this, but you know, if I don't get to do that job, then I don't want to do this job. And maybe we don't actually say it, but maybe we just think it. Why do they always get that job? Why doesn't anybody ever ask me to do that one? Why do I always get stuck with the dirty work? I mean, can't somebody else do that? Well, God says that he placed each person in the body. Every single person is needed in order for the body to operate the way that it needs to. All right, let's go ahead and read on. Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Reiterating that point. Many different talents, one body, one purpose, one cause. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So that's the perspective. So the hand is saying, I wish I was an eye. The eye has a better job than I do. And maybe the eye feels like, yep, pretty much I do have the best job out of everybody else. Yeah, that's me. And then God is reminding the eye, hey, the weaker one is actually needed just as much as you are. In order for the body to function and to work properly, every single member is needed. The hands, the feet, the eye, the smelling, the taste, every single part, every single member is needed in order for the church to work and to function as God has ordained it. And we're coming up on this evangelistic series. And in order for us to be effective, in order for us to hasten the soon coming of the Lord, we have to work together, both in what we would consider the big jobs and the little less pleasing jobs. Every single person is needed. You know, when a storm comes in, I just thought of this. When a storm, they're out on a boat. You're out on a boat and say a storm is happening and there's people below deck. When the storm is coming, they say, all hands on deck. That means everybody's needed. Everybody up here, let's work. And that's what the appeal is this morning. All hands on deck. We need to get ready for the soon coming of God. We need to use our talents and our abilities for Him and His cause. And as we come into the evangelistic series, I'm asking you, what are the talents that God has given you to use? Some people think that the only talent is coming up here and speaking. No, it's actually pretty small. When an evangelistic series happens, I was amazed last year as we planned it. We need deacons outside walking around, making sure all the cars are safe while people are in here. We need people greeting and being friendly. We need people preparing food for the visitors as they come out of the church in there. We need people in the back praying as he preaches. We need people to sit with the non-members. We need special music. We need health lectures. We need prayers. We need, it's just like, it blows my mind how many things are needed. And each and every week, God is saying, I need you. God doesn't have another you out there to use. He only made you. You have distinct people that you can bring into the church. Are you using the talents, the abilities that God has given you? Are you sitting back thinking, I don't have enough? I'm not as talented as those other people. And maybe you genuinely don't know what your talents are. You say, I don't know. I don't really feel like I have any talents. I've been there. I have been there big time. Where I fall on my knees and I'm like, I could name off a list of just one person that has so many other talents. What were you thinking when you made me? I'm a waste. What were you thinking? And God says he has a talent, he has an ability, he has gifts that he's given you. Use those as small as you may think they may be. Remember the widow with her little mite? Dropped it in and gave her all to Jesus. That's what God asks us to do. Just give your all. Like the few barley loaves and fishes, he can multiply anything. Your few can be his much. And the weaker you feel, the less important you feel, the less unskilled you feel, God says, that's my opportunity. When you are weak, then I can really be strong. And God says that he uses the weak, insignificant things to put to shame the other. It really gives God the chance to work when you say, it wasn't me. I swear, I have no talent. I have no ability. It is all Jesus Christ. Get on your knees. If you feel like you don't have talents, if you feel like God missed you when he was giving out gifts, go on your knees and ask him. Say, Lord, what talents, what gifts have you given me? You say that you give us good gifts. What are mine? How can I be used for you? How can I hasten your soon coming? And as you're on your knees, sometimes there isn't a voice that you hear saying, all right, your talent is the talent of hospitality. Go out and cook things for people. Bring them to their house. Show them love through that. Maybe you won't hear a voice saying, you are a very friendly person. You make people feel comfortable. Go, and when you walk into the church, sit down with somebody. Start talking to them. You may not have that voice. You may not know what to do when you get off of your knees, but say, God, I will do whatever. And then look. Look for opportunities. Seize on every single opportunity to serve. I told first service, and I'll tell you, say, God, okay, just have somebody ask me to do something. It's your job to look. Don't get me wrong. Look, but say, God, bring opportunities to me. And if somebody asks you to do special music, you say, all right, I'll do special music. Can't carry a tune, but I'll do it. Lord, you said just go and serve. You'll take care of the rest. If somebody asks you, hey, would you be willing to help and decorate something? Sure, all right. If you don't know what your abilities and your talents are, just say yes to things when people ask you. It would be a step in the right direction. Look, ask. Come to the pastors. Come to the pastors. I won't be here. Come to the pastors. Go to the pastors. Say, hey, the evangelistic series is coming up. I don't know what my talents are, but here I am. That's all God asks. Just tell him, here I am. Send me. Use me. I want you to come back soon, Lord. Use me. As Ellen White says in Acts of the Apostles, just right at the onset here, she says, the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized, guess what it was organized for? Service. And its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. In order to be an effective church family, we must carry the gospel to the world. We must serve. We must work in the body of Christ for his cause. And although we have little, don't worry, our Father in heaven has much. And as we use the gifts that he's given us, he says, I will give you more. Let him use you. Let your weakness be his opportunity. Let's turn to our last text in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 6. This is beautiful. Greetings from Paul and Timothy. They're talking here. And I love how they say they're bondservants of Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now, and being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do not neglect fellowshipping together. I guess that's the biggest thing. When I come back and visit, which God willing I will, I don't want to look around and say, where is so-and-so? Where is this person? Where is that person? Do not neglect the fellowshipping together, especially in the critical time that we're in. Use your talents, your abilities for the honor and the glory of God. And may he reveal to you the gifts that he's given you, that you can use it to spread the gospel. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that you have blessed each and every one of us with gifts and talents and abilities. You are awesome, Father. I thank you that you brought us each here this morning to remind us that, Lord, we need to come before you, and we need to work together as a body. Lord, looking at each other and asking for help from one another, that we can work properly. God, please help our church here to be a church of service and spreading the gospel to the whole world. Lord, draw near. Let your Holy Spirit just be with us the rest of today. May we not speak our own words nor go about our own business. God, lead us today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I would encourage you all to join for a fellowship lunch. And we have another announcement too.
How many want to thank Andrea Anderson for her service, for her just example? And we'd like to invite the congregation to stand as we sing our hymn of dedication. Hymn number 633, When We All Get to Heaven.